Life.com as well. Lodi, a pleasure as always. My friend, how are you today?
Hey, Bull. Thanks for having me. Good afternoon. Feeling good. So a lot of news today out of the old tribe camp.
Tons. And boy, it was interesting because yesterday, I want to say it was about 18, 19 hours ago, you put a story together on SI.com for the Cleveland Baseball Insiders, and you basically wrote an article detailing the percentages that all of these guys that you mentioned in the article have of being a part of the starting rotation at the beginning of the year. At the time, Mike Clevinger was a stone-cold lead pipe lock at 100%. That obviously changes now. He and Shane Bieber were both 100% that you put in that article. But here we are, you know, 19, 20 hours later, and things drastically change. How much is this going to affect the tribe through the rest of spring training and into the early stages of the season?
Well, I think, again, it just kind of accelerates the process of having somebody else in that rotation sort of step up. And you know, again, as you mentioned, Bieber and Clevinger to me were locks to be, you know, 100%, if you will, in the rotation. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. But what it does now, really, Bull, is it, you know, we're going to get an opportunity now to get some competition between some of those guys that were sort of at the back end of that rotation or guys that weren't even in it. I think Adam Plutko's name is going to get mentioned a whole lot more. I think Zach Plesac and Aaron Civale's name is going to get mentioned a whole lot more. So, and even maybe Jeffrey Rodriguez, another guy who, you know, started, I think it was 7 or 8 games a year ago before having a shoulder injury and, you know, made a few appearances late in the season, but really didn't get another start. He was part of the Yan Gomes deal. So there's going to be some guys that, you know, we're going to get an opportunity to see here very quickly and see if they take advantage of those opportunities. Because again, sometimes as we've learned so often with pitching, and this organization, when one guy goes down, another guy's got to step up. So we'll see how this goes.
And we certainly encourage all of you to go out there and read that article at SI.com with the Cleveland Baseball Insiders. But without giving too much of it away, you did put a percentage on Carlos Carrasco that was not 100%. And I thought that was at least a little bit fascinating. And I wanted to give you a chance to explain that.
Well, I think a lot of it just simply has to do with health. You know, this is a guy who has undergone, you know, an extreme amount of wear and tear on his body over the last year, just trying to, you know, recover from the leukemia diagnosis. And, you know, it's not always easy to just bounce back. I mean, as I know from personal experience, you know, dealing with cancer over the last year as well. So, you know, to me, you know, the Indians want him to be a starter. This is nothing to do with, I think, where they're at. This has everything to do with how Carlos feels. And as I pointed out in the video that accompanied the story last night, there's really not a point of, you know, will Carlos be a starter? It's more of a point of when. So, you know, I wanted to be careful to you know, kind of tell people, hey, this isn't a situation that they're going to make him a closer or an eighth inning guy or anything like that. They know that he still has certainly what it takes at 32 years old to be a starter in the majors. It's just a matter, will his body be good enough? And when I say good enough, will it be recovered enough from, you know, all the wear and tear and the stress of having to work his way back last year? And, you know, when you put a guy out there on the mound, as you know, Bull, you want him to be confident in himself. And I think some of that's going to have to be built up through this spring training out in Goodyear. He's going to have to be able to tell himself, I can go 5, I can go 7 innings, you know. And that's asking a lot, again, out of a guy who just, you know, he didn't obviously have that stamina and endurance to do it last September because he was coming back from the leukemia diagnosis. So we'll see. I have great confidence. I know Carlos is a hard worker. I'm sure that, again, as I mentioned, he will be in that starting rotation at some point here in 2020. It's just a matter of when his body will allow him to do that.
Interesting you mentioned the confidence, because it was the confidence and the poise to me that stood out with both Plesac and Civale last year, and that's why they really kind of became mainstays down the stretch. And there were some other names that you didn't include in the article, because at least for right now, it doesn't look like some of these names may immediately factor into this equation, but I want to throw them out there anyway, just for the heck of it, because now there could potentially be an opening in this rotation for one of these guys. And I'm talking about the Scott Mosses of the world. And of course, you know, taking a look at that very same trade, you know, you take a look at Logan Allen and the opportunity that this might create for him as well. You know, how closely should we be watching these guys now in spring training?
Oh, I think very closely. I mean, you know, Allen is an interesting guy at only 22 years old. I'm curious to see, you know, how much of a look the Indians truly do give him throughout the course of this training camp upcoming. you know, didn't, you know, had a couple struggles down in at AAA Columbus last year, was only 1-1. His ERA was 7.66. He started five games, you know, 22 and a third inning, gave up, you know, 19 earned runs. I mean, he's got some things to work out, but I think the Indians are still very confident that they're going to get, or they are getting a guy who, you know, again, is a prospect who I think people are really interested in seeing. Can he translate some of that stuff that he was doing well in the minors with the Padres, and can he, as I said, sort of translate that over to the Indians? I think he can, and I think you will see him up at the major league level at some point. As far as Moss is concerned, again, young kid, 25 years old, threw the ball pretty well last year in Akron, went 2-0 with an ERA, you know, actually a zero ERA, only threw in two games there, but he got a couple of wins. And, you know, again, last year played also for Columbus and also for Chattanooga. I think this is a kid who the Indians have high hopes for, and I think they want to make sure to, you know, nurture him along a little bit. You know, he's a lefty. You know, as I said before, a former Rocky draft pick, 38th round of the 2013 draft, and then he was drafted again by the Reds in 2016. So he's been through a couple of organizations, and I think the Indians are going to be well-served to make sure that, you know, they get him and doing the things that, you know, they need him to do to be successful. But I think Allen and Moss are two names you're going to see. I think Nova's another name that you might be able to see later on. And, of course, very interested in seeing what Tristan McKenzie has to offer. I mean, he had a very, you know, tough 2019 because he was injured for most of it. But I have a feeling that his name is going to come up in conversation if he can stay healthy.
Again, we're talking Indians baseball with Matt Lodi at SI.com and NEOSportsInsiders.com as well. Well, it's interesting you bring up Tristan McKenzie, because he's the guy we've been hearing so much about the last couple of years, as you just alluded to, didn't pitch at all last year. This is going to be a very important year for him, because the Indians have had so many guys like that in the past where you've heard a lot about them, and then for one reason or another, they get sidetracked. And to the credit of the organization, they've had other guys pass guys like him, and I feel like we haven't gotten to that point just yet. But if it's not this year, maybe next year it becomes the year for Tristan McKenzie where it becomes put up or shut up.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think that, you know, we, like you mentioned, very rightfully so, we've seen the situation with other guys in the organization. And, you know, I'm going to fast forward it to the major league level right now. I think that, you know, if you want to talk about one guy who's going to get a lot of scrutiny this, you know, this training camp, because really when you look at it, he's going to have to put up or shut up, and that's Adam Plutko. You know, he's out of options, so the Indians don't really have a lot of options with him. He's either going to start the year with this organization, or he's probably going to be somewhere else. And I really hate to say that, because I really do believe that Adam's got some talent and ability, and I think the Indians do like him enough to keep him happy, which is why I think he's going to make the final roster. But again, I don't know if that will be as the number five guy in the rotation, or if that's going to maybe be the long guy out of the bullpen. But you know, right now, this year, I think, is where Tristan McKenzie will be a year from now, like you said. He's going to have to prove some things now here, Bull, because he's coming off that injury. You know, the Indians can be very patient when it comes to guys like this. We've seen it with, you know, years ago with a guy like Grady Sizemore, even though it's a different position completely. And we've seen it recently with a guy like Danny Salazar. They really wanted Danny to succeed, but it just never happened. And, you know, obviously, by the time he got up here and threw the one game against the Astros, and then said that he had an injury to his groin, and that was really the last you're ever going to see of Danny Salazar in Cleveland. Sometimes you just have to cut the cord. I mean, that's just a sad state of affairs with baseball. But with the Indians, you know, because of the market size, because of the payroll, everything else, they want to maximize their ability to see these guys through, to see if they're going to give up on somebody who, hey, maybe will end up being a very good pitcher someday. I mean, look how long it took Carlos Carrasco to go from a maybe to now being a guy who the Indians value greatly, to the point where they gave him the long-term deal before everything went down with him last year with the leukemia.
It's interesting that you bring up the name Adam Plutko, because he will certainly get a better chance to make that rotation now. Not that he didn't get a fair shake earlier, but because he's out of options, you know, how great are the chances you think the Indians will find a way to keep him on board? Obviously, if he has a terrible spring, that goes right out the window. But if he at least has a marginal spring, do you think that's enough to have the tribe keep him around, especially to be a part of that bullpen with that new three-batter minimum rule?
Yeah, that's going to also change some things, too. I think the thing you're going to have to watch out for not only is how Adam pitches, but how these other young guys pitch. I don't really know if it's fair right now if we can say, a marginal effort through spring training is going to be enough for a guy like Adam Plutko to stick to this roster. A lot of it, as I said, I'm very interested also throughout this, you know, throughout this process to see, you know, two guys, Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac. These guys both had some pretty memorable moments in their rookie years last year. Both at times looked very, very good. I think they both kind of ran out of gas by the time it was all said and done, and that's not really a surprise considering that neither guy had pitched that long into their career as far as in the minors or anything like that. So, you know, to me, I think, you know, Plutko is one of those guys. You know, some people call him the poor man's Josh Tomlin, but, you know, Josh Tomlin was able to make a career out of it, and he just got re-upped by the Atlanta Braves. I believe it was yesterday I saw it. So, you know, to me, I would love to be able to have the luxury of keeping an Adam Plutko around and maybe pitching long out of the bullpen. But I know that Adam himself wants to be better, and he wants to do more, and he wants to be in the rotation. And, you know, he did have some moments, though, last year where I looked at that guy and said, you know what, he might have what it takes to be in the rotation. And then there's some nights he goes out there and you're just shaking your head. He's got no control. He's got no movement on the pitches. And, you know, we wrote an article, TJ Zuppi actually did the other day, about Plutko in terms of his curveball. He's going to have to rely a little bit more on that, because if you look at his numbers throwing the curveball, it actually is a lot better than a lot of people thought. So we'll see what happens with him, but again, high hopes that he does have a good spring and the Indians could take advantage of it, either having him out of the pen or, again, maybe being that number five guy now with the Clevinger news today.
Perhaps overshadowed by the Clevinger news today or the fact that it took so long for the signing to really kind of become official, Domingo Santana going to be a big part of the middle of that Indians batting order. And, you know, Matt, as I mentioned, for one reason or another, I think it kind of got swept under the rug a little bit today. But, you know, this is the kind of guy that if that elbow is 100% healthy, he could make a gigantic impact in the middle of that lineup.
Well, consider this, Bull. I mean, between him and Franmil Reyes, two guys that, you know, the Indians have high hopes for the both of them, that's a combined 58 home runs a year ago. I mean, obviously, Reyes Pitt playing with the Padres and the Indians, hit 10 with the Indians, hit, 26 or 27 with the Padres, and then Santana 21 with the Mariners. I like the pickup from the perspective of, you know, everybody thought, oh, this team's got to go get Yasiel Puig. They got to get Puig. Nobody still has gotten Puig. So, you know, the Indians obviously have their reasons as to why they weren't going to go to that well again, but they found a guy who I think has a lot of talent ability, and reading a lot more about him, this is a young guy still. He's only 27 years old. It basically breaks down, if you read Ken Rosenthal's tweet, which we have on our community section over at SI.com, Cleveland Baseball Insider, it really comes out to being a two-year deal with the club option for next year. So this could be a nice deal for the Indians. I mean, they only had to pay him a little bit north of $1 million. You know, he can play in the outfield, which, of course, is a position of need for this organization right now, and he can hit home runs. I'm curious to see how he does from the perspective of going from Seattle to Cleveland. He doesn't have to change leagues. And I always hate when players have to go from the NL to the AL or vice versa, because I always feel it takes a while to adjust to that. But, you know, for a guy like Domingo Santana, again, big year in 2017 with the Brewers, 30 home runs, 85 runs batted in, and he hit over 270. The Indians would love to get a season like that out of him. And when you look at that order now, and you've got Santana, meaning Carlos, you've got Reyes, and now you've also got Domingo Santana combined with Lindor, combined with Jose Ramirez, who, you know, wants to get off to a better start than a year ago. This isn't quite the lineup that people are you know, as bad as people have bashed this lineup throughout the course of the winter. This lineup suddenly looks like it can score some runs. And, you know, again, with this pitching staff, you know, it's still the strength of the organization, the starting pitching. You know, this might not be as much of a quote rebuild as some people seem to be still feeling it is. I think that if they can get off to a good start, this could be an interesting April for this team. March and April. Let's not forget we're playing in March.
That's right. They had to bump up the first pitch to March 26th, and they're doing that because they certainly don't want the World Series to back into that first Tuesday in November, which, of course, is Election Day, and that's a pretty big one this year, too. So that's what they've told us anyways. Well, one more question for you, Lodi, before we cut you loose here, because now I think it all depends on what happens in spring training, but you've got a pretty crowded outfield, and really you can make the argument there's only one more spot to be had. You've got Mercado in center, and they're probably going to platoon Santana and Reyes in right. At least that's what it looks like they're going to do now. So that means you've got a handful of outfielders vying for that spot in left field. So based on what we see on the surface here, Who do you think the odd man or maybe odd men out here could be?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think the guy that again, unless he has a monster spring training, that really to me looks like the, like you just said, the odd man out, is going to be Greg Allen. I think the Indians liked what they saw out of Greg his first year with the organization, but he just has not taken the steps forward that I think that they want him to. And I think if it comes down to Greg Allen or Jake Bowers, they're going to go with Jake Bowers. I think they still feel that Bowers has a lot to offer in terms of, you know, the trade value they got from Tampa for him. And, you know, Greg last year, you know, just couldn't get it going. And again, a lot of people were really high on him going into last year, but this is a guy that only hit .229 and his on-base percentage is only .290. I just, you know, the Indians can't afford to have guys on the roster that just can't get on base. I mean, this is how this team is built. You look at, you know, right now, the way the depth chart breaks down, this is on ESPN's depth chart. They've got Mercado in right, DeShields in center, and Santana being Domingo in left. And you know, Bowers, Naquin, Bradley Zimmer, Jordan Luplow, there's a number of other names in the mix there. Daniel Johnson's another one that's going to get a lot of looks this spring. But to me, I think Greg Allen is the guy that's got the most danger and as far as not making this roster and being DFA'd because, again, you can only hold so many of these guys on your roster, even in the minors. And really right now, I just don't know, unless he has, again, a spring to remember and ends up hitting .450 or something like that, I just don't know, Bull, if he's going to have enough to make it.
Well, and that's what's going to make these next 6 weeks really, really interesting. Lodi, as always, man, we appreciate the time. If anybody has deserved a lovely Valentine's evening, out it is you, my friend. So enjoy that tonight. And, you know, between you, TJ, Casey, Alex, you guys are doing a great job. I know you don't need my approval, but, boy, Cleveland Baseball Insiders at SI.com, you guys are doing a great job. It's an awesome read every single day.
Thank you so much, Bull. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Lodi. We appreciate that. That's Matt Lodi with SI.com, Cleveland Baseball Insiders, and NEOSportsInsiders.com joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.